God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done. Welcome to this meeting of Sexaholics Anonymous. This is a closed meeting. Only conference attendees registered as sexaholics may attend this meeting. SA is an anonymous program. Many of us carry mobile devices capable of audio and visual recording. To maximize our commitment to anonymity, we cannot allow the use of these devices for recording of anything inside this conference. Please remember that this is a recorded meeting. Anything said here will be shared with other SA members in the fellowship, and in doing so may end up shared on the internet as a whole. Anyone speaking can choose to use a pseudonym or to share with someone after the meeting if you do not wish to be recorded. Thank you. This is a topic meeting. The topic for this meeting is freedom from lust, and I've asked a volunteer to share the opening reading for this topic.
You want me to do it with the microphone?
Yes, please. Yes.
John Sexaholic.
Hey, John.
Freedom from Lust, from The Real Connection, February 26th. Since we had something to do with becoming what we are, we can assume responsibility for the change of attitude, surrender, that will allow healing to begin. Essay, page 57. I used to be an obsessive girl watcher. On entering a restaurant, I would scan the room for the most attractive woman and then position myself to look at her. At sporting events, cheerleaders and female spectators usually received more of my attention than the players did. My wife, angry and humiliated by my behavior, demanded I get help from my obsession. A therapist pointed me to SA, and it was here that I learned my obsession is rooted in lust. The images I took in fueled my world of sexual fantasy. My escape to that lustful world was driving a wedge between me and my wife, daughters, and female coworkers. I was clueless until SA helped me realize I am powerless over lust. My obsession was ruining my relationships. Gradually, I became sober, worked the steps, and found support in the fellowship. I surrendered my lust to my higher power and began to change my attitude toward women. I learned to respect them as persons and no longer viewed them as sex objects for my pleasure. What that changed, my relationships with all women began to heal. By God's grace, I can live today free from the bondage of lust. Prayer. God, thank you for releasing me from the bondage of lust. Help me treat each woman I encounter today with dignity and respect.
Thank you, Ken. All right. For the next few minutes, I will share my experience, strength, and hope as it relates to the topic, after which my co-leader will also share. When we've finished sharing, the meeting will be open for others to share. May I ask the timer to please time me and my co-leader for 3 minutes each, right? All right, I'm Tupper. I'm a sexaholic. Glad you guys are all here, and good topic, freedom from lust. And I can relate to this story, the girl watching. I like that song, you know, I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now. That was a lot of fun. What? That's right. I'm way back there. I had a lot of practice at this. And then the other image that came to mind when the reading was going by is the sporting events. I was very interested in those cheerleaders. I mean, I tell you that just my attention went there, and my wife would be sitting next to beside me, and that's hard to hide that. And so I got into trouble on that, and it went on from there that, I just was very susceptible to attractive checkers at the grocery store and the hardware store, and there was one in the bakery section, and oh my gosh, you know, the waitress over here at the coffee shop and the bank teller, and, you know, just really... I flirted with the bank teller and gave her my business card or something, and that got back to my wife in a big way, and just hell on earth, you know, broke out on those things. So I'm definitely qualified to talk about this reading, as that is me. Luckily, with the help of this program and regular attendance at meetings, I'm not that guy anymore. That I am swept off my feet by the woman in the dry cleaners or something like that. But there's vestiges of that. I, you know, once a sexaholic, always a sexaholic. I'm going to be a sexaholic till the end of my life. And so what has changed, of course, is my behavior. And my behavior has changed because I surrendered to the program. You know, that was the key thing. I had to admit I had a problem. And then surrender means I had to drop my defiance and my arrogance. And I heard the phrase, no steps, no sponsor, no chance. And I had to finally say, you know, that pertains to me. I am not above this. I am not in control of this. And I had to get a sponsor. And for me, that was beneath me. I'm not going to have some other guy telling me what to do. I'm going to figure this out on myself. Thank you. Is that three? That was the fastest three I've ever. I was just getting going. Anyways, I'm glad to be with you guys, and I didn't get to the solution there, but well, actually, I did. And the sponsor is the key, and the steps are the key. But now it's time for our co-leader to share for his 3 minutes. So, please introduce yourself.
I'm Mark K., Grateful Sexaholic. So, ditto, ditto, and ditto, ditto, ditto. So, yeah, it was pretty much the same thing. I was, I'd go shopping with my wife in the market, and I'd see things walking around, and as soon as they turned the corner, I told her sometimes, oh, I'll be right back. I need to check something on the other aisle. And, yeah, it was peanut butter, all right, yeah. And it was just to look at who went around the corner, because it was either a figure or the hair or something that I had to chase after, you know. And it's one of those things, you know, we're at a light. In fact, I remember years ago, we were at a light, and my daughter was behind us in the car. We were on vacation somewhere, and a woman, well, young girl, walked across the street, and my head was like this, following her across. And my daughter's in the back seat, and she hits me on top of the head like this behind. And I was like, what? She goes, you don't do that. You're married, Daddy. And I was like, yeah, you know. And my wife, right next to me, she said, but he's not dead. And I was like, yeah, you give it to her. And I just, you know, I realized all those things through the years, but, you know, it finally hit me when I got into this program that it's something I shouldn't have been doing all this time. And it was because of this program that in 2012, I finally grabbed onto it for sure and got sober. And it's like now I can go down the market aisle, and if something comes towards me, I just let it pass. Once it's passed, it's out of my mind. And I make it all the time. And it's so much better, so much more comfortable. And I get, you know, I had an old-timer once say, you know, I saw him in a meeting, and he said it was a lust meeting, and he talked to me afterwards, because I said, I get hit with this all the time. How do you deal with it? He said, well, that's just it. It's what you do with it afterwards. And I thought about that. It's like, right, I just let it go. And he says, if you let it go, you're good. And so that's what I've been trying to do all these years. And I appreciate the program, and I appreciate the brotherhood. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay. The meeting is now open for sharing. So as many as possible can share, please keep your shares to the time limit of the 3 minutes, and you please come up here to talk into that microphone. We ask that sharing be pertinent to the topic. We don't take the inventories of others. That is, we uncover and work on our own defects, not those of others. We avoid politics, religious dogma, and other divisive issues. We avoid explicit sexual descriptions and sexually disrespectful or abusive language. If someone feels a share is getting too explicit, they may signify by raising their hand. We do lead with our weakness and take the risk of total self-disclosure. Please raise your hand and introduce yourself by your first name before sharing. The meeting is now open. Come on up.
Hello, Omar Sexaholic.
Omar.
Hello. Girl watching, I'm also someone who does that very often at work. I work at the Westin Hotel in Anaheim, a rooftop lounge. You know, the job that I had before working at Lazy Dog in Downey, dress code is very, you know, normal, standard flannel, you know, pants, very, very, very standard. But, you know, I would still check out, or excuse me, I would still point my eyes willingly to these women that worked there at the restaurant. I was so happy to leave that job, and now working at the Westin, it's a lot worse. I try to avert my eyes, but no matter where I try to avert my eyes looking at the floor, there's always something that catches my attention. It happens to be another woman that works at the rooftop lounge where I work, and I'll just avert my eyes this way, and then next thing you know, there'll be another woman there, and oh gosh, I've looked the other way, another woman, oh my gosh, and it's just, no matter where I look, I always keep myself still looking, and that is just something for me to always surrender, and I just need to focus on my work, you know, my lead cook, looking at my cutting board, you know, trying to focus on the, you know, job at hand rather than the people that are there. You know, taking these sips lead me to still act out, and I just want to be transparent with everybody. I did act out last night, and I want to surrender that and let it be open and made known to God, who's here in this very room amongst all of you, my brothers. Yeah, I'm not proud of it. I am in a relationship with this woman who I met at my last job. Her name's Miranda. She's fully aware of what I am. She knows of my past. I let it be known to her before I, you know, continued into a relationship with her. She knows that I'm here today. So she's so supportive. She's even pushed me back to this program that I was, you know, barely in. She's pushed me to this program, and I don't deserve a woman like that. Or mainly, do I deserve God's grace? He's allowed me to be here today with fellow brothers and sisters, and I'm very grateful to have the breath in my lungs. But, you know, work in progress, God and I, and more surrender to for me to do. Thank you.
I'm Michael. I'm a grateful recovering sexaholic. And, you know, I felt like when I got into this program and I started doing the steps, I wasn't going to need anything with step two, because I felt like I had a really good relationship with my higher power. You know, I saw him as an unconditional loving God. And my acting out had always been periodic. I would go like 3 months. But it's the lust that got me. During those 3 months of not acting out, I'd be driving down the road and I would be rating every woman that I would pass. Not only looking for the top one, but oh, well, that one's not so good. So I'm not really lusting, right? If I don't get a hit off of them, or if I don't, I don't get anything from them, then am I lusting? No, I am lusting. I'm trying to find somebody, you know, by rating them. And so I found that just was what was getting me. You know, I would go for 3 months and then I'd go binge and then I'd go back and I would go into church. I was leading meetings and stuff with people, other types of addicts and stuff like that. But I wasn't giving up lust. And so, and I recently relapsed about 3 weeks ago, and I realized that what I haven't done is when I've still been taking these little lust hits. They're not major. Oh, I noticed that person, but I think, oh, I didn't have to worry about it anymore. But I do. I need to share that with somebody. So right now I am texting an SA friend. Every time I have a lust hit, I'll share it with that person right then so that I don't let it linger. Because if I let it linger, it may be a week or two before I come back to it. And then I'll go a little more and then a little more. And then pretty soon I'm acting out again. So that's what I got. Thanks.
Okay, Jack, Sexaholic.
Hey, Jack.
When I look at the title of this talk, Freedom from Lust, to me it's like an anomaly. I mean, the only way and the only time I'm ever going to be free from lust is when I'm dead. I mean, I'm never going to be free from lust. Now, I'm able to manage it, and I've had the freedom of being able to manage it, which gives me a great feeling of achievement. I've been 8.5 years sober, but I suffered with this sobriety for about 60 years. I mean, it was terrible. I thought I'd never be able to overcome this. I mean, like someone was sharing, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, a month, well, 2 months at the most. I might have some sobriety, but, you know, I couldn't avoid it. It was terrible. And, I mean, it really, really helped me to, for me, I call it an amazing grace. It was truly amazing grace. It brought me to tears just to know that after all those years, I could have managed this. And it's like, you know, I'm free from lust so far. So far, I'm free from lust. And every day, I'm free from lust so far. I never want to get into that surly, arrogant, overconfident feeling that, oh, yeah, I'm free from lust. Oh, no. I could fall tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And I have to face every single day that way. I cannot be overconfident because once I'm overconfident, that's it. I'm out, and I can't do that. So it's a struggle for me every day. With the Lord's help and with SA and their support, it's really helped me to overcome that, and I just take one day at a time. But to say that I'm free from lust, that's never going to happen until the day I draw my last breath. Thank you.
Thank you.
Christian Sexaholic. This is exciting and also nerve-wracking at the same time. But yeah, I mean, really grateful to be here with all of you guys. You know, love the topic. That's why I came in here. And, you know, for me, I've always been somebody who ran around, slept with a ton of women. What brought me here was, you know, having a son and being in a relationship with his mom. And finally, obviously, you know, continuing to do things that, you know, led us to separate. And that pain was finally enough, right? It was enough for me to cry out to God in that moment. And, you know, when they talk about it being a spiritual malady, it's true, right? The solution is God, ultimately. And in that moment, God met me there. He was always trying to get a hold of me, but the more I chose to be in rebellion towards him, the more I was in self. Right? Lust, trusting my own thoughts, trusting what I wanted to do, self-centeredness. My character defect is fear. And I've never would have associated myself as being scared of something. But the truth was I was scared of everything, right? I heard fear is the master spirit the enemy uses to keep us away from the good things God has in store for us. And I really came to realize that that's true. My sponsor always says, like, surrender was key, which is why I think God paired me up with him. He's huge on that. You won't hear God or surrender come out of his mouth. If you have a conversation, those are the two things you always hear. But I was always my own God. And the problem is that took me to pain. And now it's like, you know, you talk about thoughts, or my thoughts are not good. My thoughts, I lie. I don't do good things on my own, but God does. He's all loving, all knowing, all powerful. So, you know, a guy in our program says he has a zero tolerance for fear and for lust. And I've really adopted that or co-regulate with him. So anytime I'm fearful, I go towards it instead of running, right? Or numbing or hiding, which is all of it. And now every thought I have around lust, I take it to God, and God provides freedom from it. So thanks.
Andy, recovering sexaholic. I appreciate this topic, and I'm hoping I can get some magic secrets that I could take home and use. But all kidding aside, one thing that does help me is, besides the wisdom we heard, is I start off each day reading the devotional, Make the Connection. I try to read something from the Bible that kind of sets a tone for the day. That doesn't make me immune from lust, unfortunately, but I find out that helps kind of gird me to have a little bit of protection, so to speak. It sets my mind in a good place. Then there's days where I'm in a rush and I don't do my normal routine, or maybe I start to cut corners or get a little complacent. And then it catches up with me, and it's like, boy, I'm just, my neck is getting tired of turning and looking at all these amazing women. And it's like, okay, this is why I didn't do my routine. And so far, you know, working the steps, having a sponsor, having some accountability men, that all helps. And, you know, I just have to really force myself to be brutally honest and sometimes admit, you know, to accountability partner that this is happening. Another thing I find out, the beach is my happy place. Okay, so you have all sorts of ideas and memories about the beach. If I go to a popular beach in the middle of the day, that's like going to a slippery place, okay? So I go in the morning, I go at sunset, and I still enjoy my happy place. And that's one thing I can do without cutting out something that I feel is very important to me. But I'd be interested to hear anybody else share, or men from the panel, some strategies. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you,
Candy.
John, sexaholic.
Hey, John.
And the reading the Perpetual Girl Watcher, I identified with that because growing up as a kid, my dad was a police officer. And from the youngest age I can imagine, we would go to restaurants. He would sit in the back of the restaurant with his back against the wall, and he'd check out every person that came into the room. And he used that as an excuse because it was a safety issue. But it was also, he was checking out every woman. And so as I grew up, we want to be like our dad, so we model ourselves after them. And then being exposed to pornography at a young age, this has been a part of my life literally from day one. And it's been very difficult for me to try and overcome. And I was encouraged, the whole idea of surrender. You know, say the surrender prayer when you see someone that's interesting to you and surrender them to God. And sometimes you feel like that's all you're doing is driving down the road saying the surrender prayer, especially when you're in West LA and Hollywood, driving to work. But it actually does make a difference. Saying the surrender prayer, and then when you recognize something out of your corner of the eye and you have the willpower to not look and say a prayer and think about it to God, those little wins start to win a little bit at a time. And I find that when I give in, it gets me down the one road of wanting, seeking more. And when I have those little steps of surrender and those little steps of victory, it makes it not quite as appealing the next time. So that's been my experience and strength and hope in this. And it's still a constant struggle for me, but it's something that I can do. And I, like I said, when I give in, it gets worse. And when I have those little wins a little bit at a time, it gets better. And so that's all I can offer. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Good evening, everyone. Nick, sexaholic?
That's where my mind wants to go, is am I supposed to be here? Am I a sexaholic? All those fun things that our mind likes to go through. Well, I was out to coffee before this with another member, and I have to admit that I was definitely looking at the barista back there. And what it did was, it wasn't just lust forming, but it was also taking me totally away from the person I was with and the experiences that was being had. And that's what the big thing for me is not just with lust, but with going into my own head. I struggle with being present, because the guy downstairs gave us directions to the coffee place, and I just like heard the first part, didn't really pay attention to the whole thing that he was saying, and we got lost. And that's like something that I'm working on, is being present. But I've definitely fallen back into the I've got this, me questioning if I'm a sexaholic, if I'm an addict, and all of these things. But there's little pieces that happen in my life that reaffirm that. But for me, it's like, do I accept that? And I have to say to you guys, like, no, right now I'm not accepting that I'm a sexaholic. And the hard truth is, I've learned that I have to learn through my own experience and not just through other members' experiences, which for me, it's like, I thought that's how you did the program, was, you know, you listen and do things. But there's a hard truth that I might have to do things that aren't good for me to finally learn that I'm a sexaholic. And I think that's a key, because I am an addict. If I have to go through so much pain to finally realize, I don't think normal people that struggle with pornography or with looking at women would have to reach a bottom to get to that point. So I pray that I don't, but at the same time, I'm conflicted, but I am so blessed to have this program, just with not just lust, but like, I can acknowledge my emotions for the very first time in my life, and that has been such a blessing. I can acknowledge, like, I'm scared, and I'm learning how to speak my feelings now, and I never did that. And I'm the youngest of three, so really what took a hold of me was, I was the youngest, so I always went under the radar. And it's like, for me, it's coming more true that I need to speak up for myself. But I definitely struggle with the women watching as of now. But I felt the freedom, and I've also felt the pain, and the freedom is definitely more worth it, but you have to do the work. And I want to find a balance of the least amount of work for the most amount of, you know, reward. That's not how this program is. And that's what I'm struggling with right now, is the work aspect of it. I want to be normal. And that's just, I think I'm not normal, but my mind wants to make it seem like I'm normal. So I will admit today, Nick, sexaholic. Thank you for letting me share. I'm grateful to be here and see you guys and be with you guys. So thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Nick.
Hey everyone, thanks for the topic, Tupper and Mark. James Sexaholic.
James.
Yeah.
James.
I find myself struggling not just with things catching my eye, though. It'll be all my senses, really. It'll be hearing laughter, giggles, smells, women walking around in the office wearing perfume. That'll trigger me too. And in talking to my sponsor with it, he gave me a good suggestion. He always says, they're suggestions, not advice. If you take advice from a sexaholic, then you got problems. So he tells me, he says, you know, they're not dressed up for you. That's not for you. You remember that. And then it's something, you know, now when I feel like my head's starting to be on a swivel, or I want to tune into something, or eavesdrop, or any of that kind of stuff. I just remember, it's they're not there for me to lust after. They're there trying to do their job. They're there trying to serve people. They're just doing their thing. They're not there for me to lust after. That's not why they're there. And that allows me to really remember that they are, you know, someone's sister, someone's daughter, someone's mom, someone's aunt, someone's niece. They're women out in the world doing their thing, and it's not for me. And that allows me to put it in perspective and surrender that. And I really appreciate that little suggestion that my sponsor gave me to keep that in the back of my head every time I feel like I gotta like tune into something or point my nose like Toucan Sam and do any of that kind of stuff and just remember, oh, they're not there for me, not there for me to lust after. They're there to be in the world. And that allows me to pray for them too. Like, God, let them be a blessing to those in their life. Allows me to give it up to God, say, God, let me find and turn to you to seek what I'm trying to find in them. And I find those two prayers really help kind of spin me back down and get me back on planet Earth and out of my fantasy land. So just wanted to share those little bits there. That's been given to me by my sponsor and by the program that I really appreciate. Gets me through so much of my day without extra distraction. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Michael, sexaholic.
Hey, Michael.
Thanks for your shares. I heard, what was it? No steps, no sponsor, no chance. That was a good one. I wrote that one down. Because I don't like doing the work. You know, I rather make excuses. I even use meetings as excuses not to do my steps, which is, I don't recommend that. That doesn't work. I've been in program for a while, for a few years, and, you know, I think somebody said you have to learn by doing or by making mistakes. And so for me, yeah. Another thing I heard was to surrender the lust to another sexaholic. I like to hide. I don't like to surrender anything to anybody. I want to keep it to myself because that's what my family did. We like to keep our secrets to ourselves. So I have to break out of that. That's a hard one for me. I think, you know, it's more comfortable if I don't share. But it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help another sexaholic who needs to hear, you know, what's going on. Or, you know, it just helps to share. I'm a double winner. I have lust, same-sex lust, and lust after women, so it doesn't really matter, unfortunately. You know, lust in meetings, SA meetings, AA meetings. I go to AA. So that, for me, is a challenge. It's not impossible. I've been able to get some years in sobriety, and that's when I surrendered every lust, just texting someone. Or so I got to back on that, the train of surrendering everything, because I'm really good at hiding and omitting. Like, I don't like to lie outright, but I'm really good at not telling the truth. Which doesn't make any sense. Which, you know, insanity. So with that, I'll keep coming back. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
James, sexaholic.
Hey, James.
Anyway, yeah, I heard a lot of really great things today, so thank you for participating in my recovery today. When I joined Sexaholics Anonymous, it was really to focus on pornography addiction and the things, you know, of acting out, you know, chronic masturbation, stuff like that. And I didn't really understand what lust really was. And they said, well, you know, this is about progressive victory over lust. Well, I mean, I knew from, you know, a concept, like a biblical concept of what lust was. But I, for some reason, I just had this, I couldn't wrap my mind around how pervasive it was in my own life. And something that was really helpful for me was Roy Kay's talk on The Anatomy of a Look. I don't know if you've ever read that or heard his talk on that, but it really breaks down what happens, you know, physiologically when I see something. And what I realize is that, man, I'm a hunter, you know. It's like I have this radar that's out there all the time. And it's finding things, it's looking, it's like, I'll know if there's a good looking woman, you know, out over here without even seeing, you know, it's just like, I just know. But a couple of things that have been super helpful for me in avoiding that is, number one, there isn't any image or woman or anything that I can see that I could lust after that is worth my sobriety today. Nothing. I mean, and I know where that's going to go, so I always keep that in mind. And the other thing is that when I see a woman that I don't pray for myself, but I pray, you know, it's like, I just say, you know, God, will you bless your child there? Because then it kind of brings the humanity back to her. It's like all of a sudden she's not an object for my use anymore, but actually a child of God that I can bless. So I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Gene. Yes, sir.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the topic, Tupper and Mark. I'm Michael, and I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Michael.
I really appreciate this topic, and I like that there's reading out of the Real Connection, too. I think the literature is a great part of this program to read about what sexaholism is, what we do about everything. So it's been very helpful in my recovery. This is my first time at any kind of conference or anything like that. I've been a part of the SA for about 18 months. So, yes, I'm very much an infant. They say that early recovery is 3 to 5 years. So here I am, fresh in. But I've already experienced a lot of victory in certain areas. Not cured of sexaholism. If I was, I wouldn't be here today, I'll tell you that. I'm saying, see you guys, I'm out the door. But freedom from lust, yeah. I as another member shared, and I've heard this previously also, like, lust doesn't really go away. But the way I understand it, like, because there's something here. Like, there's some kind of freedom here. Something's going on. Otherwise, there wouldn't be this many people at a Unity conference in Costa Mesa sitting in a hotel room. So I thought, okay, well, like, I was meditating on this. Like, what have I found freedom over? Not lust in my life, but the power of lust. That's something I found freedom over. And the freedom over the option to indulge in it, or freedom over the option to accept it, there's a choice there. And now I have that freedom rather than just that being my only avenue, because of the tools of this program has given me the other options. So I will say, in my past, while I knew this was an issue, I didn't realize the scope of it. I thought it was just porn and masturbation, and I really wanted to stop this one activity. Yes, I was looking. I can relate to the reading, but, like, I was not even aware I was doing it. It was just like, everyone does this. What are you talking about? This is just human nature. Well, no, it's not. Not for, I mean, maybe for sexaholics, but not for everyone. So that is lust, and that's different than using pornography and masturbation. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about this program, is it talks a lot about lust, a spiritual issue, something that's non-sexual, explains in the white book. It crosses boundaries, and it's a screen of indulgence in between reality and us, as this explains that way in the white book, and it makes a lot of sense to me. So, Ken, how much time do I got left?
6 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Very happy to be here today, and I'm very happy to be sober today. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael, thank you.
Yep.
Hey, everyone. My name is Torin. I'm a sexaholic. Happy to be here. It's good to see so many faces. I've been through other recovery programs before. I've had long-term sobriety in them. They're great. Never had a lust concept in them. And it wasn't until I had that idea of like, oh, this is a disease of the mind, that I really got much freedom. I've read the Bible and I've read spiritual literature that talks about lust and I shouldn't do that. It wasn't until I got to SA, it's like, oh, like that's what I'm thinking about. That's what it is. It's lust. Like it's in me. It's like on constant loop. Like it's like a really bad, I think Roy K describes in the white book, it's like a racuous like noise. Like if you just like turned on like a 1970s TV and like, but, I've been sober since last January of last year, and I honestly still kind of feel like I'm still drying out. And it's really incredible to see not just the extent of sexaholism, but like the progressive freedom. Cause it's like, wow. Okay. I'm experienced like new peace, that comes at every step of the way. And it's like, wow. Okay. Like this is a really deep disease. It definitely has like a stronghold on me, but the farther I go, like the more happy, joyous, and free I get. That's what keeps me coming back. That'll pass.
Hi, Gabe, sexaholic.
Gabe.
Heard a lot of good things I can relate to. And I was just thinking, you know, all the images in my mind, I really believe they're still there. And they... Sometimes they come into my mind, you know, just pass through my mind. And I start thinking about them, and even though I've been sober for a while, 10 years, and been married for 4 years, and they're always there. But I think, you know, developing through this program with the steps and being sponsored and sponsoring and just continuing to develop a relationship with God that, I can still live with that all in there and not, you know, I remember the first time I was in SA in my 20s, I came into the program. What happened was I got in this relationship with this woman and, you know, I really wanted to be normal. I wanted to stop. I thought porn was my problem. If I stop that, get the girlfriend. Anyway, it lasted a few months. She broke it off. You know, I was trying with all my might not to go back to that. And I did pretty good for, it was amazing, like a month or something. I don't know. But I just remember I would go out late at night, walk around a neighborhood, just, you know, like in this kind of, I thought I was a poet or something. I don't know. So, anyway, and then this porn image came in my head. You know, it was like one of the ones I saw, the earliest, you know, porn, like when I was a teenager. It was so powerful. I mean, it just sent such a shockwave through me. I mean, such a rush. And I was determined I had to go find that one right now. And anyway, I went home, masturbated, and woke up so depressed the next morning. And I already knew about SA, so I came back into SA. I was 27, stayed for 5 years, but... Anyway, left for 12 because, you know, I thought I could control it. And then I went out and I was using women and, lying to them. I knew I didn't want to marry them. I just would tell them all the lies and then be in a relationship that I didn't want to be in. And, you know, that's very emasculating to do that. And it hurts a lot to realize that, you know, I wasted somebody's, you know, time for that many years. And but it was simple when I came back. I couldn't look at porn, couldn't hook up. That's what I started with. And the progressive victory over lust, I think it was a couple years down the road where I kept like getting off of social media, Facebook, getting back on. And then since 2018, I've been off of, you know, social media and my wife has it, but, you know, it doesn't work for me. And the other thing I want to talk about is, so being intimate with my wife and, you know, so she only knows Gabe, you know, sober 6 years when we got married. And she knows my story. She's come with me to conferences. She's heard me, you know. And it's a beautiful thing to be intimate with one person and, you know, you made a vow to them. It really, I was, you know, and part of me, like, you know, should I feel guilty? But no, I mean, this is, you know, what God, you know, intended it for. And but there are the times when I get worried, like, you know, oh my God, am I going to say the wrong name? Because I did that one time. I had this woman and I broke up with this one. I got together with this other one and I introduced her to a group of friends and I called her by the old person's name. And that was like, oh my God, I'm going to do that again. I was always so worried about that, you know, in my marriage. And anyway, so sometimes when I'm just panicking, I'll just pray. And sometimes I'll pray out loud, you know, with my wife. I'll just, you know, ask for, you know. Oh, we're done. Sorry.
Thank you, Dave.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
All right. Yeah, Luis, great for recovering sexaholic.
Hey,
thanks again, Tupper and Mark, for your service. For me, 4.5 years of freedom from lust, and once again, not from sexaholism, but from having to constantly act out upon it. You know, for me, something that comes toward me, even peripherally, I have to go the other way. You know, I run. Otherwise, I start stalking. That's what I do. That's my nature. You know, I'm like a heat-seeking missile. If I see something I like and I lock on and it's like, wow, I feel like I have a gift. You know, I know when that woman coming my way is my type from 100 yards away, I know, you know, and I have to walk away. You know, I played football. I know what 100 yards is. So, but, you know, freedom from lust, you know, is daily decisions that this essay has taught me to make to avoid lust. You know, things that made me more prone where I could not do Instagram anymore. I could not do Twitter or X, I guess they call it now. You know, I had to get rid of them. You know, I had some thou shalt nots that I had to deal with, you know, and then I thought about the things that helped really free me, the thou shalts, you know, which I come here daily. I go to an essay group daily. I serve in my church daily. I serve my community, everything from recycling and providing food to people in need to, you know, investment and savings advice, you know, not my advice. I have friends who are really good with money and investments, and I try to help in any way I can other people. And then the steps. I go to the Big Bear Retreat every year, and it's just such an incredible experience. And I'm the complacent type, so I have to do something every day in SA, whether it's a SA group, SA-based group, you know, because I'm a sexaholic. And this program has taught me that I don't have to act on it anymore. I've been in this program now for 4.5 years, and I've been 4.5 years sober. You know, lust is in me. It's in my sinful nature, you know. But because of my higher power, you know, I truly have something supernatural to keep it at bay and to keep it in check, you know, as well as the practicals here and the sense of humor here. Gosh, I've laughed so much getting sober. It's helped because I first meeting I cried the whole time. I cried at a Unity conference. It was embarrassing. Yeah, love the steps, love the Big Bear Retreat, love the Unity conferences. And I think the only reason I experienced freedom from lust today, just this 24-hour period, because that's all I do, is because my higher powers really filled me up so much with good things to do and to say and to pray, et cetera. And I think church got me going to even think that this was a problem, but SA got me to the real connection, a real authentic relationship with God. And I remember in my religious tradition, they talked about, if you hold to my teaching, you're a real Christian. Then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And I finally realize what that means. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Luis. We got time for two more shares, and then we're going to head into the closing of the meeting.
I'm Ken, sexaholic. I really like this. I like this topic a lot too. And it's a struggle. And as everybody so far has said, I mean, I was lusting when I didn't know I was lusting. I did it on purpose. You know, I mean, it was just in me, you know, and people have said some of the things that I do too. I mean, and I was also kind of a person that stalked somebody. I never thought of myself that way at the time. I guess I started off thinking, well, this is just normal. And then when I found myself doing it that much, or once I got into SA, I knew it. I still was like, oh, like a little looking was okay or something like that. But it's not, and it's just never. And the my problem is, a little is never a little. I mean, it's not like I do it a little bit and then walk away. Oh yeah, I'm good. It's like, oh well, that was good. I want to go around the corner and see what's there, you know, and following people around the supermarket and things like that, you know. And anyway, so but as far as a solution, you know, for me, it's daily connection with people, meetings. In fact, it says in the book, meetings. That's kind of, I always think of that too, because it's just, there's not enough meetings for me to get that connection. And all those things just remind me that I'm a sexaholic and I can't lust. And that when I'm looking at somebody or taking second glances, that is lusting, you know? Because it is kind of an abstract concept, but when I break it down to like, this is what it is, I know I have to stop doing it. Like I was, and the thing that's always hardest for me is if I'm going down the road and something kind of pops out of the blue. Some woman over there taking a walk or, you know, and I live in Arizona, so it's hot. People go out and, you know, expose somewhat. And that happened to me the other day, and I looked and I saw her and I just looked away. And I said a prayer and I'm, you know, blessing for her and God take my lust. And I still felt bad. Like, well, I shouldn't have really even looked at her, but I don't know. She was there. So I think I did the right thing. But it's things like that, like I have to do that. I cannot let something like that pass and go, oh, well, I was really nothing. I just looked. And I find myself sometimes, like when I ride a bicycle to in Arizona, sometimes I'm on that bike ride, I'm saying blessings and prayers like every minute practically. Somebody's going, bye, God, bless her, take my list, you know. And but that's just the way, what I have to do, you know. And it works. It really works. And somebody said it's you can't lust when you're praying for somebody. And what do you know? That's actually true for me. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ken.
I'm Michael, sexaholic. I've been in SA like 2 years, less than 2 years, but I really haven't gotten any meaningful sobriety. And from a lot of the shares I've heard, it's some of the same things that I really need to start doing and asking for help. I have the hardest time just asking for help and just thinking I can do it on my own, and have yet to prove that I can do it on my own. Even though I keep trying, you know, but really as well, relating to like second looks and like, you know, not just at times just being selfish, you know, thinking about my own needs, and I don't really care where I am, you know, like that's how crazy it is. Like I could be here, and I have taken second looks, and you know, I just want to surrender that, and you know, I'm here also just to learn to be sober, to be in SA, and to really be a part of. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Michael.
Further. This is an anonymous program. Please keep all names and shares you have heard in this meeting to yourself. Our experience teaches us that attending meetings, working the steps, and giving and receiving sponsorship are key elements to maintaining our own sobriety. Would anyone willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor please raise your hand?
Omar Sexaholic.
Omar.
A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Thank you. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the men who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God, and as you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Thank you. After a moment of silence for the sexaholic who still suffers, I'd like to ask Mark here to please lead us in the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, the 11th step prayer, or the serenity prayer.
God. Do with me, and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Amen. Keep coming back. That's right. Thank you, guys. Good meeting. See you around the neighborhood.
Thank you.